Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of St. Luke. I don't watch the news. When I say that I don't watch the news, I mean that I used to sit down like clockwork every evening and watch the local news and then the world news. I don't do that anymore. You can turn on the TV and do news if you want to 24/7. And it includes not only things that actually are going on, but all kinds of people. An endless parade of people will tell you what to think about the things that are going on. And I don't do that anymore. Now, when I'm not listening to a book on tape in my car, I might listen to the radio. I browse a couple of newspapers that still print news. And the other ones, one of them's getting kind of sketchy. And I use the local paper I get from my father for local news only. And I'm aware that there are problems in the world. Have you heard about that? Were you aware there are problems in the world? Most of those world problems, I really can't do much about. I guess there are also problems in our country. Probably I can't do much about those either. But if you could change things in the world, what would you change to make the world a better place? And if you could change things in this country, what would you change to make the country a better place? If you could change things in your life, what would you change to make your life a better place? I do have some good news today. The good news is that Jesus has stopped talking about our possessions. That was awkward. Today, Jesus is talking about conflict. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, rather division. A couple different words for division, scattering. One's division, one's scattering in the Greek language. The word division means to divide something into recognizable pieces, chunks. The word used here is what we would call a shattering, or maybe an explosion, blowing things up. So I've been getting my butter at Aldi because it comes from cows in pastures in Ireland. It comes in half pounds. I divide it into two sticks. And you bake a pan of bars, you count the heads, and then you divide it up. And Jesus takes the cup with the supper, it was the common cup, and has them divided among themselves. At the crucifixion, they divided his garments among them, and when he died, the curtain in the temple divided into two. That's dividing. The word, that's not the word used here. The word used here is what we would call shatter. When Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets of commandments, and he saw what the people were doing, he cast those tablets to the ground and they shattered. Drop a glass or a plate on the hard tile floor in the kitchen, it shatters. Carrie Underwood seems to think that tornadoes shatter windows and the like. She's from Oklahoma, she should know. That beautiful vase, been in your family for how long? Drops on the floor. That's the word used here. It's gone. And there's no putting that toothpaste back into the tube. Metaphorically, we speak of shattered hopes, shattered dreams, shattered health, shattered relationships, including shattered families. Theologically, when I talk about paradise that was and the remnants of paradise that are, I will often use the word shattered, as in Adam and Eve's sin shattered paradise, because it did. Because it did. And you can see that all around, can't you? Shattered paradise. It's out there. speaking of the secular, the kingdom of the left, people think we have a division in our country. And in politics, it does seem like there are two sides, and those two sides don't agree about much of anything. Kingdom of the right, the church has been shattered, like that Corel plate hitting the floor. And all the king's horses and all the king's men, many churches have allowed the culture to shape their theology. But even then, they can't agree on how far to go down that slippery slope. Some of us still think the church should be the church. We should not be shaped by the culture. Now, maybe we should try and shape the culture to make it a better place. Do you think that I've come to bring to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather shattering. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, two against three, they will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, and the in-laws against one another. So, Jesus, you think maybe we could go talk back to talking about possessions? Maybe. And what do you think Adam and Eve thought when their firstborn Cain lured his little brother out into the field and did what he did? And God asked Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And Cain famously and rhetorically asked, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain thought the rhetorical answer was, "No, I'm not my brother's keeper." Murder is a product of hate. Hate means you wish that person wasn't here. And if you can, like Cain, maybe you'll do something about it. It's in the Bible. A lot of stuff in the Bible. Lots of religions have holy books. Lots of holy books paint their patriarchs, ancestors in the face. Faith, while wearing rose-colored glasses, ours doesn't. Our holy book, that's the Bible, pulls no punches. Cain murdered Abel. Right after that, a man named Lamech married many women, boasted about it, and about how he murdered a guy who punched him. When the son promised to Abraham did not come, Abraham took it upon himself, Ishmael's baby mama, is Hagar, not Sarah. And Sarah gave Abraham the go-ahead for that. And then you might remember she withdrew that approval and booted that woman in her out of her house. Judah's daughter-in-law Tamar lost her husband, so she tried to seduce Judah. David had 23 wives, and he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. And his family, David's family, was a train wreck. You might say David's family was shattered. Ask Pastor, why could they have 23 or several hundred wives and we can't? Well, they couldn't. They weren't supposed to, but they did. And Solomon's wives and mistresses totaling, I think, over 1,000. It wasn't a good thing for him, for his family. One man, one woman, children, works the best. Before the time of Jesus, the Roman Republic highly valued the family, hearth and home, they called it. And the norm was for a Roman citizen to fight in one of Rome's wars. They were always fighting and be given a plot of land, maybe in the newly conquered place, and one man, one woman, and children, because they and the natural man recognized that to be family. And they also recognized that family to be the basis of civilized society. For the Romans, with the passing of the Republic and the coming of the Empire, which took place largely during the lifetime of Jesus, the family was replaced with, well, just look around. Just look around what we see in our country. I think we're running out of letters. We're running out of letters, so I just append the whatever letters you got with et al., the rest, whatever. And yet one of the criticisms of Rome was that Christianity divided families. did. Like Jesus said it would, like it still does. And maybe you even have non-LCMS people in your family. Some of you may have family members who don't go to church. Or maybe they're not even Christians. I know I do. So what do you do about that? Family members who don't share your religion. So Monday we buried my sister in my mother's neighborhood of Taylor Ridge. She's good. Unlike her little brother, my sister never had the growth spurt in high school. Like him, she did have a doubt spurt. Worked through it, died in the faith, and now she's in heaven for eternity. When my mother died, it's been about 5 years ago, by the end of the service, my wife and I in the car on the way out to the cemetery, we had closure, ready to move on. Same thing with my sister, closure. It's God's word, and that's why we proclaim God's word at funerals, to give us closure. She's in heaven. She's had a rough 3 or 10 years, lots of trips to the doctor. Then they were going to the ER at Iowa City, and like my mother, her last years were not her best years. And we don't do eulogies, but last week we did talk about those last few years. But then we moved from talking about that to talking about her before her troubles, remembering her like she used to be. I think that's what you do at visitation these days, and at the lunch afterwards, talk about the good days so we can forget the bad days. And I saw a lot of people. Funeral was at St. Matthew in Milan. That's where I grew up. Cousins I went to church with. Some of them lived two doors down and on the other side of the street in the neighborhood. Went to school with some of them. Worked with most of them. And a lot of my cousins and other relatives are still in the church. Some of them are not. Some are in non-Missouri Synod churches. And I have gay relatives. I have divorced relatives. At least one atheist relative. Several Roman Catholic relatives in ELCA. Lots of nuns. They don't identify with any religion. A plethora of generic Christians. I call them probably evangelical. And I think my family probably looks like a lot of your families, doesn't it? What do you do about that? What do you do about that? When it comes to religion, and you have different religious beliefs, what do you do about that? Well, my family, I know we talk about life. Maybe we can talk politics. Maybe we talk religion. We've done that, done quite a bit of that, actually. But we don't do drama. That's how you do that. That's what you do. Don't do drama. I think some families do. My family, her family, we don't do drama. The week before that, I went to class down at Trinity in Davenport. I signed up for the class from the seminary because my friend Randy asked me to. But at this stage of the game, I'm pretty picky about what books I read, and I'm not going to just sit there and listen to somebody. The teacher was a young guy. Graduated seminary in 14, I think. And he was very good. I learned a lot from Dr. Adam Kuntz. He talked about Christian versus culture, and he did it in a very helpful way. I liked the guy because he knew what he was talking about, but he didn't seem to think that he knows everything, and he asked us questions. At first, he doesn't want us to answer the questions, they never do, but he does. He does. And he asks us, if any of us ever, like Paul does all the time, if any of us ever tell our people to imitate us. And I said, well, I get this close to telling them to imitate me. I never do, really. He says, what does that look like? And I said, I don't tell them that you should go to church when you're on vacation. But I do tell you that we always go to church on Sunday when we're on vacation. And then I added, if you can't find a Lutheran church, we'd probably go to a Catholic church. And one of the students, I think it was a pastor, visibly chortled at that idea. But I think we're past that. I think we're past that. In fact, my family, my mother was Catholic. She became a good Lutheran. I think my family got over that a long time ago. So if you see me going to church at a Catholic church here in town, that might raise some eyebrows, or the Catholic church out in Grand Mountain, it should raise eyebrows. But if you hear that I went to church in Dublin, or three times in Galway, or in Florence, Italy, there are no Lutheran churches in Ireland or Italy, we're working on it. The only eyebrow raised would be because the pastor used to tell us not to ever enter any Catholic church under any circumstances, under pain of... And my nephew's son got married and went to the wedding at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Silvas. I think most of us are over it, aren't we? And they used to tell us not to watch TV too. Like a lot of things, embrace the good, avoid the bad, reject the ugly. Division, shattering. The word for that in the family is estrangement. Estrangement, it's a thing. It's not a new thing, but it's a thing that's becoming more popular, and you can go on the internet and learn how to do that if you want to estrange from your family. Usually a spouse or what passes for a spouse are involved. And one day the parents look up and, what happened to my child? This estrangement can happen for a lot of reasons. One of them is religion, or for no reason at all. People have been asking me for 37 years, Pastor, what happened? We raised them all the same. And the best answer in 37 years of thinking about it I can think of is they become adults. They become adults. And you know, Jesus doesn't like those things, estrangement, shattering, any more than you like them. And when a mass killing happens, it's another reason why I don't watch the news. That becomes the story. 24/7 until, and the usual things are said, including, I think this is directed at you Christians, your prayers aren't enough, not good enough, and when are we going to say enough? I think it's a bad thing to give murderers so much. They see it as fame, and they haven't done that with the Makokita one, and I noted that that guy had a gun, but he was able to kill without his gun. Nor does Jesus like those things any more than you do. Then why doesn't he do something about it? Well, in the fourth commandment, he lays out the nuclear family, father, mother, children. And then he commands us in the next commandment not to murder. But he has the same problem I have. I think God had that problem in Jeremiah. People don't do what I tell them to do. You probably have the same problem sometimes, right? People don't do what you tell them to do. It's the way of things in this fallen world. Make that the shattered world. This shattered world. And why does God allow his children to fight in the family, in the country, in the world? For the same reason you parents allow your own children to fight with each other. Why do you allow them to do that? Well, you tell them not to. What happens? God made the animals, and he controls them. I think we call that instinct. He made us to be higher than the animals in a different category, to have dominion over them, to subdue them. That's done. And he gave us freedom. Freedom to make choices, stay or go in the family. And in this shattered world, my mother, my sister, your mother, your sisters, all of us are going to have good days, and we're going to have bad days, and maybe some ugly days. So what do you think needs to happen to make this world a better place? Well, thinking about that is to take a peek into heaven. What do you think needs to happen to make this country a better place? To think about that is to get a glimpse into paradise. And what needs to happen to make your life a better life? One day that will come to pass, and even more than you can imagine. Oh, and I've got some other good news, better news, maybe the best news of all. Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins, all of your sins. There's nothing to bar the way to heaven, just a straight shot right in. And when people who don't believe like us come to Lutheran funerals and hear that their loved one is in heaven, like I heard with my sister, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, because he or she was a believer. Well, so what? Well, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. That's how you get to heaven. Sounds too easy. Well, I don't know about you, but it's not really that easy. In fact, believing in Jesus does, and always has, like he says, brought conflict, and that's not easy. But our end is perfect peace and paradise. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.